It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, on this March 2nd. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalms 122, verse 1. It is time for us to begin with opening prayer. My wife, Lynn Dream, will take us to the throne of grace.
Good morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now we ask that your spirit will come and abide with us, feed us fresh manna from heaven as the words are granted and anointed to our pastor, and fill him with your spirit as he teaches us this morning. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
today, my brothers and sisters, we're going to talk about perfection. perfection. And we're going to go to Matthew 5:48 after our opening prayer, or after we have prayer. Father, thank you very much for the word. We thank you for the love you have for us. Be with us and strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's so interesting because there is some misunderstandings in the Bible, and they are to our detriment if we don't allow the Spirit of God to lead us. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48, it says, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So our topic is perfection. And so if you study Matthew 5, I mean, that's, you know, Matthew 5 tells you a lot of things that we should do, what we shouldn't do. It really talks about the spirituality of the law. And what is the spirituality of the law, Matthew 5 and 6? Well, the spirituality of the law says things like, you say it's wrong to kill, but I'm telling you, if you hate your brother, you've already committed murder. Okay, so the spirituality of the law makes the law much more, much deeper and broadens the application to include the various aspects that we sometimes excuse. Oh, I ain't going to kill him, but I sure hate him. You follow what I'm saying? In the Bible, in God's eyes, you've already killed them. So thou shalt not kill has a much broader application. You don't have to murder somebody. You can destroy their reputation, and you're a murderer. The Bible says, you say, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I'm telling you in that same context of those scriptures that if you look upon a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery already with her in your heart. Now, the Bible doesn't mention everything, but it gives us principles. If it's sin for a man to look upon a woman and lust, that would be sin for a woman to look upon a man and lust, okay? God just used the male as the point of reference, the pivotal point, but the principle is the same. And therefore, for a man to lust after another man or for a woman to lust after another woman, that would be sin. Therefore, things like pornography, that fits under thou shalt not commit adultery. So a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to commit adultery, but they go down to their closet, men and women, and they watch pornography, looking at other people other than their husband or wife, and they think that's all right. No, the law is very spiritual, and it applies. So every wrong act is some violation of one of the Ten Commandments. And the Bible tells us that if you keep the whole law and offend in one point, you have broken them all in the book of James. So that helps. You can understand that because if I just am just riotous and drunken, I'm stealing. Well, how would you say you're stealing? You're just riotous. Well, I should be here to give you, I have been put here to give service to God and to my fellow man. Can't do that if I'm riotous and drunken, okay? I'm killing. Well, how would I be killing? Well, you could be being reckless and could kill somebody else, but even suicide is killing. Thou shalt not kill. And so I'm not committing suicide. I'm just drinking and smoking and being riotous. Well, you're shortening your life on an installment plan. So the point is that every wrong act violates God's commandments. And when you look hard at it, even one act would violate all of the commandments. Okay? You can't be honoring the Sabbath day as your creator if you're riotous and drunken because the creation, which is you, that he made, you're dishonoring him. You have other gods, the Bible speaks of, whose God is their belly. Okay? So the point I'm making is that God's commandments are very broad and very important to us. So Matthew 5:48 says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, when Jesus was asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? There were two answers. One is in Luke 10:25. The Bible says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So that's Luke 10:25. Verse 26, and he said unto him, what is written in the law? how readest thou? In other words, Jesus pointed him to the Word of God. And the law then was the law of Moses, wherein the Ten Commandments are given. And there were other principles of other laws as well. And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Okay? And then it goes on how he wanted to justify himself to say who was his neighbor. And then Jesus gives the parable of the story. I'm not so sure. It might have been a true story of the Good Samaritan. Okay? Now, Jesus pointed him to the law. The man said, you have to love the Lord with all your heart and soul and your neighbor. You see, what that was in the Bible was a summary of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments show how we love the Lord and how we love our brother. The first four deal with our love to God. If I love God, I won't put another God before God. If I love God, I won't bow down to any images. If I love God, I'm not going to take his name in a vain way. If I love him, I will honor him as the creator. There's the Sabbath commandment. Remember the Sabbath. If I love my fellow man, I would not kill. If I love my fellow man, I would not commit adultery. If I love my fellow man, it starts with my parents. I would honor my parents. Honor your father and thy mother. Okay? That's the fifth commandment. Then thou shalt not kill. Then thou shalt not commit adultery. Then thou shalt not steal. Then thou shalt not bear false witness. Then thou shalt not covet. And so, my brothers and sisters, that's how we deal with our fellow man. So when you love your fellow man, you're actually keeping God's law. When you love God, you're keeping his law. And that's why he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Because the commandments deal with your love to God and your love to our fellow man. So some people use this verse to say, oh, we don't have to keep God's commands. We just have to love people. Well, you wouldn't love them if you stole from them. You wouldn't be loving them if you slept with one of their persons that you ought not. You wouldn't be loving them if you would be destroying their reputation with a lie. Okay? You wouldn't be loving God if you had other gods. You wouldn't be loving him even if you know better and you don't keep his Sabbath day. Okay? Now, there's another verse that asked the same question in Luke 18:18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. The reason Jesus said this is because people were acknowledging him as a good man, but they would not acknowledge him as the Savior, the Messiah. And then Jesus says an answer to his question, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. Then he said, and he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. So Jesus tested him. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Well, see, remember, when Jesus was asked, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He basically gave him reference to the last six commandments. So he's pointing to the ten. And so when Jesus says, one thing thou lackest, he did not love God because he put his money above God. But Jesus said, lackest thou one thing. You don't have love for God, in other words. How can I prove it? Sell all you have. Distribute to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. The man, the Bible says, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Okay? So, the bottom line, friends, is when Jesus was asked point-blank question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and in Luke 18:18, he pointed to the commandment. Okay? Jesus pointed to the commandment. And so, we cannot be saved without keeping his commandments. Now, I didn't say commandment keeping saved. I said, what must we do to inherit eternal life? We must keep the commandments. That doesn't talk about the power to keep them or where the source comes from, because it comes from Jesus, my friends. But the perfection is the criterion of the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you go to the book of Acts, you have an interesting verse. It's Acts 16:30, and this is where a lot of people go, and they try to say that we don't have to keep the commandments. In Acts 16:30, it says, let me start with, this is Paul being and dealing with the jailers. It says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour in the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all he is straightway. So when he said you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there was other instruction that was given. We don't know exactly what Paul said, but it says that it was very clear. He spake unto him the word of the Lord. But what did the Lord say? The Lord said that when you were asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, we have to be keeping God's commandments. All right? So a lot of people miss that. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're believing what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. It's not just say, oh, I believe the name of Jesus. I believe the name of Jesus. No, it is what Jesus stood for. What did he teach? That's what you're doing when you believe in the Lord Jesus, okay? And that's very, very important, and a lot of people miss that. So commandment keeping is a necessity for salvation. However, we can't keep God's commandment on our own. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may we also do good, which are accustomed to do evil. The Bible says a new heart also will I give you in Ezekiel 36:26, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away, God is saying, the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And so the victory over sin comes from the Lord, but we are cooperating servants, okay, allowing his spirit to infuse us and to use us so that we might be fit vessels for God's honor. I'm going to read to you now from Homeward Bound for March the 2nd. It says, the condition of eternal life is now just what it always has been, just what it was in paradise before the fall of our first parent, perfect obedience to the law of God, perfect righteousness. So what is the condition of eternal life? Obedience, righteousness. If eternal life were granted on any condition short of this, then the happiness of the whole universe would be in peril. The way would be open for sin, with all of its train of woe and misery, to be immortalized. So in other words, if God saves the impenitent, that those who aren't haven't repented, if God saves those who have not been victorious, we've been told in the book of Revelation in chapter 22, there's no moral change when Jesus comes. Whatever you are, that's how you will be. If that's that verse around verse 11, it says, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Then Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So we are immortalized in whatever condition we're in. When I say immortalized, that doesn't mean we won't die if we're sinners. It just means that once Jesus prior to finishes the work of judgment and you are found to be unsaved or disobedient, a stamp is placed upon us. We're sealed in that. That never changes. And if we're found to be obedient prior to his coming, we will have gone through experiences and learned obedience through the things which we suffered, right? And so we will be immortalized in that condition. And Jesus will come, and based on your decision, you're going to get your reward. Either you're going to ask the rocks to fall on you, or you're going to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. You see, there's to the righteous there will come a change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15:51. All right? So this is true, what is being taught here. You must be obedient to God's commandments. How are we obedient is the question. And that comes from the surrender of the heart to Jesus Christ and him living in us. There's a song. It's actually a scripture. It's Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So that's how we gain the victory, my friends. We allow Christ to live in us. He said, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It was possible for Adam before the fall to form a righteous character by obedience to God's law, but he failed to do this. And because of his sin, our natures are fallen, and we cannot make ourselves righteous. Since we are sinful, unholy, we cannot perfectly obey the holy law. We have no righteousness of our own with which to meet the claims of the law of God. But Christ has made a way of escape for us. He lived on earth amid trials and temptations, such as we have to meet. He lived a sinless life. He died for us. And now he offers to take our sins and give us his righteousness. If you give yourself to him and accept him as your Savior, then, sinful as your life may have been, for his sake you are accounted righteous. Christ's character stands in place of your character, and you are accepted before God just as if you had not sinned. That describes, friends, justification. When you repent and give your heart to God, Christ becomes your substitute. And his death pays the penalty for your sin, and you are looked upon in heaven as though you have never sinned. That is an amazing concept. It is not unfair. It's unfair, but it's unfair to God, if you want to call it that. The gospel is not fair. The gospel is better than fair. If fair is the same as just, that means you get what you deserve. Well, what I deserve is death. The wages of sin is death. So God is not fair. He's better than fair, okay? God can give you something you don't deserve, and it's because we are so selfish, we don't want to give anybody something that maybe we don't feel that they deserve, even if their heart is ready to receive it. We say, no, you need to go get your degree first. Or, no, you need to do this first. Or, no, you need to help me with this first. You know, you don't have too much giving that is unconditional, you know, just unconditional love. It's rare. More than this, Christ changes the heart. He abides in our heart by faith. So now sanctification is being talked about here. You are to maintain this connection with Christ by faith and the continual surrender of your will to him. And so long as you do this, he will work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So you may say, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This is what I'm saying. Galatians 2:20, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Jesus said to his disciples, it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, which speaketh in you, Matthew 10:20. Then with Christ working in you, you will manifest the same Spirit and do the same good works, works of righteousness, obedience. So we have nothing in ourselves of which to boast. We have no ground of self-exaltation. Our only ground of hope is in the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, and in that wrought by his Spirit working in and through us. That reading comes from Steps to Christ, page 62 and page 63. We're studying from time to time, not every day, but the Homeward Bound devotional. God bless you, my friends, and we will be having an intermission, and we'll come back with a health message in a little while. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning. We thank you for the perfection that you offer through the blood of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to repent and just ask for forgiveness and ask for your Spirit to fill us. And then help us to, that's justification, help us then to say in your word, in prayer, and in good works that we might maintain that connection and not be distracted by the flash culture and allurement of the world. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, we're going to have an 8-minute intermission. With that, you will hear the torso song. And we pray that you'll enjoy that as we will be back with you with a health message in a little while.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to torso. Of the Mason-Dixon line, if your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Your health is so-so, you might this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. Friends, we're going to talk about the importance of medical missionary work. And I know this is a health message, and this is more of a how to do the health message. In other words, it may not be a specific health tip today. But I want to just draw your attention to something. I want to draw your attention to the mind. The mind is a focused entity that has beliefs and understanding, and when that is challenged, the natural reaction is rejection. When your belief system is challenged, and add to that all kinds of manipulative forces such as music and the wrong view of your pastor. Some people worship the pastor; whatever the pastor says, that's what they do. So wrong thinking is very hard to have people know what is true because of how the mind works. And when a person, however, has a condition that causes discomfort, that causes pain, that they realize, even if they feel no pain, that could kill them, there is this quest for survival that's natural in the mind. And when you have a solution to their problem, you have a solution to their pressure issue, blood pressure, you have a solution to their high sugar problems and diabetes, that is. When you have a solution to the cancer, when you have a solution for the challenges that we face recently in the health of the country and the world, then a disarmament takes place, okay? They become, their rejection of truth becomes disarmed because you're reaching them, you're ministering to their needs. And so by continuing to do that in consistency, you begin to win their confidence, okay? And that's how Jesus did it. That's how Jesus ministered. He met the need because that need that he met disarmed their prejudices. And you might be surprised to find, some of you all are aware, that medical missionary work and publishing will help finish the work. Well, you're not going to be just arguing with somebody that's healing you. I mean, just for the sake of argument. Now, you might not necessarily agree with them, and that's not required, but the point being made is you're open to hear what they have to say, that prejudice has been disarmed. Well, you can't argue with a book. Now, it's not going to argue. You can't argue because you might disagree, but it's not going to talk back. It's just going to keep giving you the word as you read. And so sometimes people even read so they can find the error in the book, and then they get converted because they can't find any error if they're sincere. So God's going to use publications, which disarm prejudice, because there's no human being that my pride might be hurt if I'm arguing with you and it's found that you're right and I'm wrong. But that prejudice goes away when it's just a book, so or a pamphlet or a tract. So the two areas that God says will finish this work are areas that disarm prejudice, that don't foster pride, and therefore can reach the heart better. And I just wanted to say that to you to encourage you to get involved in the medical missionary work and use publications as well. And we want to encourage you along that line. Let me open the phone lines at this time. And anyone that has a comment or question, please feel free to share it with us. And we have representation from South Carolina, from North Carolina. And our dear Brother Peyton says, good morning. He said to Pastor Shelley and Sister Maria Flemons, God bless you, Brother Peyton. And we have representation from Maryland, from Delaware, from New Jersey, from Ohio, from Georgia, from Ohio again, and I believe I already said, may I have not said it, but it's Missouri and the island of Bermuda. We're praying for our dear Sister Kevin there, that God will continue to bless her and keep her, and we are trusting that the weather is nice. Praise God. All right, friends, if there is anyone, please feel free to press *6, and we have Sister Lenny on the line. I'm going to turn up my volume, and we're going to take her call. Good morning, sis.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone. I need prayer. I have been asked to by a Sunday minister who I do not know. I don't even know how he got my name, but anyway, I have been asked to serve them two plant-based meals, 2 days, Thursday and Friday morning and noon. And the devil's already started to do things to deter me, but it won't. So I'm soliciting your prayers that I will do what God leads me to do. It took me 4 days to answer them back, and I did answer them back because I really, really felt that this is what God would have me to do, to share with them plant-based meals, you know. So please keep me in prayer about that and continue to pray for my little niece who's she's having an EEG today on her brain to see why she passed out and had that seizure. So if you could just pray for me for that, and I am continually praying for the broadcast and those who come on every day. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Let me step out of the camera for just a second. Since launching the book, this is our first seminar on the Biblical Booster, okay? First seminar, and it's this weekend. Now, because of that, my brothers and sisters, we will be on the road in the morning during the broadcast because we have to leave very, very early. So I don't believe we'll be able to do the broadcast on tomorrow. Now, I am assuming that where we'll be staying will have a decent connection to the Internet and be able to have the broadcast on Sabbath morning. So no broadcast tomorrow, but a broadcast on Sabbath morning. So just wanted to mention that to you. And those of you who haven't picked up your copy, you can use the coupon code TORSO15 or FAMILY15 on the website and purchase. Or if you want to send the funds directly using Cash App or Zelle, just let me know. But this is a 320-page book. It has over 300 citations, over 180 color pictures, over 150 QR codes, It is well-researched with over 300 citations, as I said, and I believe you'll find the truth, and that's most important in this book. So I pray that you'll support the campaign, those of you who have not been able to get a copy or just, you know, whatever, and I know we have to put it in our budget, but it supports the campaign that we're doing, a campaign to boost the immunity of our global community. So we will be coming to different areas and to speak. You might want to try to maybe schedule a speaking engagement, that type of thing, anything we can do, getting people out to learn what is truth. That is important, friends, because there will be pestilences. The Bible says it's part of the second coming, signs of the second coming, rather, pestilences and earthquakes, it says in the book of Matthew chapter 24. So if there is anyone else, please feel free to press star 6. We'll be happy to engage with you. And that's pretty much it. I'll know prayerfully by Sabbath morning whether or not we would be able to have church on Sabbath, but nonetheless we will be recording. So by the grace of God, I would imagine that where we're staying, it's out in the country, but it's at a little lodge. So I would imagine that by God's grace, we would be able to make phone calls that, you know, Verizon, whatever, as long as we can get on the phone and prayerfully be, if we have a decent signal, and it's a decent signal, we can even use our phone as a hotspot so that we could get on the broadcast. So I'm expecting to be able to tell you on Sabbath morning, when we have our Sabbath morning, what will go forward later that day, okay? But it's a day, so we would have 3 different speaking times. Nonetheless, we will record them. And so even if you're on at some point, we would probably even replay them as we move forward. All right, then. God is good. We're going to close out the broadcast at this time. I'll turn it over to my wife, Undreamda, for any closing comments, if she has them, and closing prayers.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship and fellowship. And Lord, we do pray that we will continue to always study these things out, asking your Spirit to show us as we go deeper into your word, giving us grace and wisdom so we can have a knowledge and understanding and be able to teach it to others. We put before you the petition of Sister Lenny, asking continuous prayer for her needs, and now asking prayer, Lord, for her to be able to work with this Sunday church that you have put into her path to be able to help them with their nutritional needs. We ask that whatever the devil is trying to do, that you would break every effort and that you will allow her to be able to move forth. Give her your strength and your wisdom in these efforts and bless her, Lord, as she can be a blessing to others, as she teach them and train them in this way of nutrition. We thank you for the opportunity that's been granted to her and that she was able to accept and to move forward. Bless her, Lord, and bless others, and bless all of us as we continue to do what we can for such a time as this, as we work and co-labor in these efforts with you. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, brothers and sisters, is I Will Trust in the Lord. May God bless you today on this March the 2nd. May you have his greatest blessings and the blessings of his presence.
I will trust.